Art, this is Mrs. Dora Maisler, 1864 James Avenue, Redwood City, California. Mrs. Maisler was a survivor of the Triangle Fire where she worked as Dora Miller. Now, Mrs. Maisler, how long did you work at the Triangle Fire Company?
I really don't remember. It must have been from 1908 till the fire.
And you were a garment worker from the time you came to America. Mm-hmm. When was that?
In 1906.
And you worked in a number of shops?
Sure.
Always as a shirtwaist maker?
Always, yeah. Didn't do anything else. As I went to dresses.
And then you were working at the Triangle Shirtwaist Company at the time of the strike in 1909.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1910.
Or 1909. And you came out at that time.
I came out to California?
No, out on strike.
Oh, yeah, out on strike, yeah. I've been on strike for 25 weeks.
You must have had some interesting experiences during the strike.
My feet were knocked out on the sidewalk.
You want to tell us some things about the strike?
Is it George Franklin still around there?
Yes, George Franklin.
He used to help the ticket. Well, the only thing I can tell, when we were on strike, we weren't allowed to pick it. So we used to go with tools. In our sleeves, it was a regular Korean War. So they put out, that's right, we weren't allowed to pick it at that time. So they put out the police street walkers who used to fight us. So then we took off the, we made the colors help us pick it. So the bosses put up gangsters to fight us, and that was the fight. Now, George Franklin is around, I wish you asked him. Well, about the fight, if he's not too big to tell you, if you remember.
No, he still remembers, and he's still the same person he always was.
Yeah, nice man. Mm-hmm. He used to help us pick it every time after college. He was a student at that time.
Mm-hmm. He came down and helped you pick it on the line.
On the line, every night.
So what happened when you had your teeth knocked out? What was the...
What happened? I didn't get rid of the rest of that.
You weren't arrested then for getting
your teeth. Oh, we used to be arrested three times a day, every time we went picketing. In fact, the judges used to know a policeman. Mm-hmm. Are you here again?
So then after the strike, you went back to work at the time.
With dogs. I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm.
And were you, did you have many friends who worked beside you, around you at the time, the day of the fire?
There was one more girl, the time of the fire, when I went home, was, you remember Rose? The pretty girl? Her name was Rose. Rose.
Were you there too, Mr. Mason?
Yeah.
I was waiting there to go to a ball. She was born there.
All right, so you didn't have any other relatives at the...
No relatives. Just friends.
Which floor did you work on?
On the 8th.
How many floors were there?
Was it up to the 11 or only up to the 10? I don't remember. I only used to go for... The cars were on each floor. Each floor had a cutting room.
It was a clear block.
That was a big
factory. So where did you work, in what department were you?
In the upgrading department.
Uh-huh. Were you a sample maker?
At last, I was a sample maker.
At the time of the fire?
At the time of the fire, yeah, duplicate sample, something like that.
Now, how was the sample room situated?
A small room, only the exercises.
And you were near
the designer. It happened that when I saw the fire, I was going to take a bucket of water and pour it on the fire. Before you know, my hair was singed.
Well, perhaps you better tell us right from the very beginning, what were you doing when you were first became aware of the fire?
I was changing my skirt.
Do you remember what was happening?
5 o'clock. I didn't even lose time to open my drawer and take my pay. I left the pay there. I thought, well, I'll come up after this again.
So what happened? You were changing your skirt?
I was changing my skirt, and I saw the fire, and I wanted to help, and he said no. So I was holding my skirt.
Who said no?
The machinist.
And then you went, he saw those buckets of water, and you tried to put up...
I was going to, he wouldn't let me. And I was the bee that I was near the door. Mm-hmm. So I got a hold of the knob.
What, What did the machinist say to you?
Geiser Unter.
He talked to you German.
I imagine it must have been a German.
So then you went to the door. Now, was that the door of the elevator?
The door, yes.
Well, how about the locked doors? Where were they?
Well, they were in the back, the stairs. The only time that we used to have the stairs or doors open, when we worked overtime.
So was there an elevator boy there, or how was the elevator?
There were four elevators in the whole building, two freight and two front elevators. So going up the way they used to take us up, but down we never had a chance to.
You mean you had to walk down from the eighth floor
every day? No. We used to wait for the freight elevators in the back.
The two freight elevators,
two
you couldn't use the front.
Yeah.
And this was the front elevator that
I went down to the front elevator because I waited in the front.
So how did it happen that the elevator
They didn't even know there was a fire in the plane craft downstairs. And it was cold yet in the hallway.
The elevator...
What I did is when they were really screaming and burning, so I knelt them up and I pushed everybody back. And I raised my foot, I broke the window, you know, there was a window in the door. And that was the time he came up. But the time he only made one trip because everybody here, maybe 100 of them, wanted to get in. I was on the floor there, I was black and blue.
You said something before about their tearing your clothes off.
Well, they wanted to, they see, I had a better chance to get out.
You were the first one?
I was the first one at the door knock. I don't know where I got the strength to hold on to the door knock. They couldn't put me, they tore off the clothes and they couldn't, and when I finally got downstairs, you know, that was the big, they were jumping around, you know, there. So some man took off his overcoat and they gave it.
Well, why wasn't the elevator able to go up again to get
The cables broke. They were boiling already.
Well, the cable broke while you were going down?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? How did you stop?
I stopped the boys, you know, I didn't stop.
I mean, they
couldn't make it anymore.
How did the elevator stop? Did it?
They went down to the basement.
Crashed down to the basement.
Yes.
Then how did you get out from the basement?
I don't remember. I guess we were carried out. But that's what they made this one trip. I imagine that the people broke. Too many people.
Yeah, too many people in the elevator.
See, he couldn't stop it. He couldn't close the door. Everybody jammed. Yeah.
Then when you came out to the street, do you remember being out in the street?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
And you were...
Some man took off another coat because I was there.
By that time, were the firemen there?
Oh, the firemen were there.
And
the people were jumping.
You saw them jumping.
Oh, yeah.
Were there fire escapes on the building at the time?
They had fire escapes. I don't know what happened, why they even the firemen, they came with nets and the nets broke.
Nothing seemed to work back then.
No, it didn't work.
And what happened to your friends who were there, the people who were closest to you?
Well, the friends, the only thing that a couple of girls, I'll tell you what it said, it would be more victims if it would be a weekday. A lot of them went home. It was on a Saturday, and they didn't want to wait for the pay. That was one tragedy. One girl that I know, I don't remember her name now, she was engaged to be married, and her boyfriend wanted her to stop. She said, no, she has to go back for a pay. And the pay they wouldn't give you at noon. They had to give you after work. The girl that got burned, I can never forget, she gave me the pay and she was burned. I have the picture somewhere.
How many people were in the shop altogether? How many people worked for the triangle?
For the triangle, we had 1,500 machines.
1,500?
It was 900 machines on the ninth floor. I didn't like it. The former kind of liked me, liked my work, I suppose. So he wanted to put me up on the ninth floor, and I tried. I didn't like it. It was too much. It was 900 machines on the ninth floor.
The building itself, you said, was a square block?
A square block. It was a huge building.
And they occupied three whole floors, and maybe even four, you said. You weren't sure.
I don't remember. It was 8, 9, and 10. The 11th, I don't know. A lot of them escaped from the 11th floor, from the roofs.
They went upstairs and
down across to other rooms. Yes.
Well, from the higher floors, I imagine they went. From the most victim, I think, was on the 8th floor, the floor that I worked.
Is that where the fire started?
Yes, that was the fire started on the 8th floor. And the most of it, the most tragedy was in the dressing room. They went for their clothes. In fact, I had a brand new suit because I was going to go out. I didn't go.
You were waiting for her, Mr. Mason?
Sure, I was waiting on her.
Where were you? Were you near the vicinity? Or
No.
In Glens.
Well, were you hurt at the time the fire was?
Pardon me.
Were you injured? Were you
no,
injured?
Not too
your
bad.
Hair was
no,
singed.
Not well, see.
I mean, no, no, bone, no, nothing no, happened no, in the no, elevator
no,
being
no, 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 no. Oh, black and blue marks, but not.
You must have had some considerable shock, though.
But I couldn't go to work.
When was it? How long did it take before you went back to work in the shop?
Well, I had to go back and make a living. And I went up to, every time I went up to a place, I looked around and I said, too many boxes, you know, shipping too many boxes in case of fire. I'll never forget, I went up on an 18th floor and I looked around, it was so crowded with boxes and I went there.
And right after the fire, you probably took part in the mass meetings.
Yeah,
and all the commotion as if that we resulted from the fire.
But my dear man, you know it's 46 years, 47 years.
It was the anniversary a little while ago.
Yeah, the 25th of March.
Mm-hmm. So then, did you participate? Were you active politically at the time? Did you?
Not too much. I was a greeno.
You went to the funeral.
Oh, I used to go, sure, but I belonged then to the union. I went to the union. But not too much that you can make history about that.
Yeah. Did you go to the funeral?
No. Couldn't.
You were still in the state of shock?
I know I couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it, but I'll tell you what I would. I was there in 1950 in New York. I like to go on the cemetery. I have a friend of mine who charged, she goes to New York, she didn't work there. She goes to the cemetery. I understand there was one stone.
One stone for everybody.
For everybody. Mm-hmm. There was, near me was a Italian family, old family, two sisters, two girls and a mother, the three of them. They all three got burned. They were just sitting there just like this.
And you said, I think, before that the boss's sister worked for
the boss's sister was sitting next to me, beside me.
Did she die? She killed him?
No, she got brain. I don't know how, but she got brain. Choked, you know, most of them got choked there. And from the smoke in the dressing rooms.
So a lot of them died from the suffocation of the smoke.
And those that did joke, they didn't have it, not one.
And were you a witness in the trial that took place later? What did you think of that trial?
Well, what I think, they brought down the doors to the courts, and I remember the lawyer Stern, I think was his name.
It was Max Stauer, wasn't it?
Max Stern.
Stauer.
I think they pronounced it Stern. So a little fella. And he questioned. He said, "How did you feel when you know that it was raining and you couldn't save yourself?" So I said, "How would you feel if you would be trapped in a cage?" And I put a match. So how did you feel? I said, "How would you feel if you would be trapped in a cage?"
Well, what did you think of the trial? Do you think that it was a fair trial or it was fixed?
I really don't know that, but I think they must have made the fire because they lost an awful lot. They were millionaires.
I don't mean did they make the fire in the trial. You know, they were acquitted of any responsibility.
They were.
Yeah, they said they were not responsible for the fire. The trial.
And somebody else we talked to felt that this was done by politics, that it was fixed so that they were let off of responsibility. You don't know.
What were you saying about the fire? What did you think about
the fire? It's hard to say. What I was thinking is maybe they lost a lot of money in the strike. Mm-hmm. They lost an awful lot of money, the 25 hicks and the strike.
Well, they weren't able to produce very much during that time. Were there many scabs working during the strike?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Only time.
And now,
I couldn't talk to them. We used to walk around and plead for them and talk and talk. And
they didn't understand you, or?
Oh, don't worry.
The next day, they go right back. Now, after the fire, how long did you stay in New York?
I stayed till 1912. I was 11.
Oh, did you work in union shops then, or were you still in non-union shops?
It wasn't so kosher. They were still, I remember when they were striking, they used to go out. I went up to one place and used the room materials, you see.
And you were an active union person all of the time?
Well, I did all I could. Mm-hmm.
Then when you left New York, did you leave New York for your health, or did you get just...
No, I just family? Couldn't work. I just couldn't work.
Couldn't stay there because of the fire?
I couldn't stay there because of the fire. I couldn't work. But my husband, we weren't married at that time. And when my husband suggested California, I said, go ahead, you go first, no tell. So he went right after the fire. Then I came later. We weren't married. We were married right here.
You couldn't stand working in a building that was
I
so tall.
I couldn't stand
so
working. Now I came out here, and the place here, I really didn't like it. Didn't like it. It didn't have anybody. So when I didn't have the price to go back, so I had to stick around. By the time I went to work, I worked here in a very fine shop, a Livingstone's. A very fine.
That was in San Francisco?
No.
In San Francisco.
It was a city, just a village.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of liked it. So I went back, I went to work to make some money to go back. So then I kind of got used. It was July, and I wore a nice white blouse, and it didn't get full of dirt, and then I got used to it.
And when did you join the union here?
Now, what year was it? 34, 35?
Well, that was when they organized.
Yes, that was when
the union,
yeah.
The folk makers were before that.
Yeah. Was that still a blouse shop, or were you going to be
on no, where I worked was a blouse shop, and then I worked in dresses.
And then after the union was organized, you were an active member here.
I don't think I can say I was very active. I was a member.
All right, I want to go back for a couple of minutes to the fire again, Mrs. Maisler. You said you were in the dressing room and you were changing your skirt.
Yes.
Did you have any idea of how the fire began? Did you see it when it began?
I know it started from the, let's say, I was on this end of the shop, and that started on the other end. The way it was a huge place, another big place.
What department was it?
In the cutter's department. Because they had all the materials there.
So, and that was back toward where the doors were and where all the people were.
No, it wasn't there, the doors. The doors was in the, let's say, that was the, there were the cutters, let's say. And that was our, where the machines, we were sort of the petition down in the room. And way in the back was there.
In other words, the back part of the building where the freight elevators was the part where the fire was.
No. The way the cutters. And then it was a square block.
Oh, in other words, the layout was that
the layout was, let's say, a square.
Was not near any of the exits, so the people...
No. Separate. Let's say it was a square block. So about half of it was the ship. No, the shipping was, I think, on the 9th or the 10th floor, mm-hmm. with those covers and boxes. And then it was about 600 machines on that floor.
You mentioned that normally you went down in the freight elevator.
Yeah.
Did anybody go down in the freight elevator that day?
They claimed that they made a trip, or the cables broke too. They claimed that they made a trip. I wouldn't know, because I went down the front.
You were on the other elevator.
Yeah, the front. Because I was as near to the elevator as I'm as near as I'm to you.
Yeah.
see.
I suppose in all the commotion, you couldn't see the people.
I couldn't even make it. If I would go there.
Where the doors were locked. You didn't.
The worst panic was in the dressing room. They went for their clothes and not for the children. They got choked from the smoke.
And suffocated.
Suffocated. Most of them were suffocated. They were more suffocated than those that jumped very old. Maybe, I don't know.
Did people see the fire, or did somebody say this fire, fire?
And instead of running out, they ran to the dressing room to get their dresses.
And I wouldn't even lose time to get my pay. I was right at the machine, and I thought, well, I'll come back. Mm-hmm. And with my skirt in my hand, I got a hold of the knot. And I don't know, I got the strength. I wouldn't let it go. I felt terrible afterwards.
You said something while we were chatting before. You compared the fire to the strike a couple of years
ago. It's just as bad. To me, it was just as bad.
The strike
was just as bad. Because we were really late. We were arrested. 3 times, every time we went to picket, and we were arrested.
You know, today when there's strike benefits, and we have the kitchens and the
strike. We didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. There was no union. We didn't have anything.
How did you raise money to finance the strike?
We didn't raise money. We were peddling papers.
You were one of the
papers. I was standing and I was freezing. We didn't have enough clothing too. So I had a dozen papers. Some of them gave us more than some of them were looking at $1 and $2 for a paper and $3 on Broadway. So coming from Wake patronizers, you know, those sympathizers. So my girlfriend's brother was there, and I was frozen stiff. So he gave me $1 and he took me home. He got a paper. Mm-hmm. He said, "How many papers have you?" I counted and he said, "All right."
Did you ever see our picture with these hands?
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Did you live through all of that?
In the house, yeah. They were showing it here.
Oh, you saw the picture?
The needles, and yeah. Oh, I go to that.
But did you remember the pretzel scene?
I remember
that. You were telling us
good.
Before about the pretzels and how
somebody
had a nickel.
That was the only money you ever got. You couldn't buy anything else. So whoever had a nickel was 5 pretzels in the, you know, and stick with kind of the baskets. I don't know if they have them now.
No, probably not, but I can still remember them a little bit.
Do you?
When I was a child, surely.
So
whoever had a nickel bought pretzels.
And gave them to everybody else.
Wouldn't you, if you know I'm hungry, wouldn't you give me one? Well,
of course I would.
But it's a funny thing, I can swear every time when I got a hold of a nickel, I said, next time I'm going to go in the corner and eat them all up.
When did you do that?
I did. I couldn't.
Whenever you had a nickel, you couldn't see at the other people's turn.
Who could?
Well, that's what eventually built the union. On the strikes, that sense of each person helping everybody else.
How
about this contractor episode?
The ninth floor, the way they operated on the ninth floor.
Oh, the
contractors. Well, most of them, a man used to come and take 10 machines, 15 machines, and take those poor girls and.
In what way did they operate?
A section, you see.
In other words, there may have even been as many as 5 or 10 of these contractors on one floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then he got all the money and paid you.
He used to get the work. You know, we used to work piecework. He used to bring the work. He got all the money. He used to pay out $2-$3 a week. It was section work, you see. He used to make the old garment. But the contractors used to teach the kids who didn't know.
What was the average age of the girls working in the shop?
Oh, all the ages. No, they were all ages.
Were there some very young ones?
Well, were you
more young ones than old ones?
Were you one of the older workers then, or one of the
I was more the older.
You? How old were you then?
Well, I came to this country in 1906. I was 16 years old. Then I was knocked around a couple of years.
I was considered old.
I bet you blessed believe me. I was older than 21.
And all the experience you had gone through on the strikes and everything else.
I was married at 23. Minus for you is 68.
So Mr. Mesler was over on Grand Street waiting for you after the fire.
Well, he was, I don't know, he wasn't. He was out of the, what do you call it? He was, I think, in Newark, New Jersey, if I don't. In Paris,
where were you at the time of the fire, Mr. Mesler?
He didn't know.
No, but I didn't know it.
Oh, well, when did you hear about the fire?
I went up after to take her to the ball.
Oh, you went to her home or to the shop?
No,
at
home.
Oh, you went to her home. Well, where did you live?
I lived on Grand Street.
No.
Wait a minute. Where did I live?
Street.
Cannon Street. Now I understand it's a ritzy, but it was pretty bad there at that time.
Where was that?
On Kenny Street.
Around the ILD housing project, I'll tell you a real good one. When I was brought home,
it was a fire in next door, and then I couldn't move. I said, well, I guess it's fire for me to go.
You mean when you went home
when
from
I
the fire
went
that
home,
night?
The fella that it gave me the overcoat, I was naked, so it took me home. I should have sense enough to ask him that. I don't know if I was naked. So when I came home, I was exhausted, and almost crazy. So there was a fire next door, and I couldn't move. I said, well, I guess now it's time for me to go.
I mean, this is your day.
This is my day.
This has got to be the last day.
Yeah. Yeah, she was laying in bed, and we talked on the door, and just the course, you know,
I couldn't move. I wasn't even, I didn't have the strength. I said, well.
So you heard nothing about the fire then until you got to her house.
Well, did you participate in any of the activities? The Socialist Party was very active. The Workman's Circle, the Forbes.
Well, the Forbes, everybody. We used to go to East Broadway to get the news.
Well, I mean, in the excitement and the public opinion was so aroused by the fire. And neither one of you played any parts in the demonstrations or in
all
the
effort.
Oh,
they were. Oh, remember.
I think it was going on. It did.
They did have them, but you didn't.
You know, the Socialists, the Fordists had big stories every day on this.
The paper was full.
All the English papers. And then, you know, as a result of the Triangle Fire, the factory laws were passed. And while it was a horrible thing at the time, good did come out of it in the long run.
The union built up. Now, pretty strong union. I'm happy.
It's more than a pretty strong
union. Believe me. Now it's a pleasure to work in a shop. Boy, what we went through.
Pleasure is not to work, you know.
When I was a presser, it wasn't such a pleasure.
Do you remember some of the things that went on in the shop as far as conditions were concerned in some of the shops?
Oh, well, there was always somebody that was trying, you see. I remember, well, to me, she looked like an old maid. You know, at that time, I imagine she must have been in her 30s, maybe her middle 30s, you see. To me, she looked like I look to you now. So she was, ask me her name, I don't know, but she was really pretty active, and she started the strike. She was really one of them. And then there was a couple of cutters.
What were some of the things that they were trying to change when they went out on strike?
Well, first of all, we wanted a price, not just what they gave. And whoever is fast made a living, and the slow workers, that we didn't want the contractors.
Well, the system of the contractors...
The subcontractors.
Subcontractors, whatever you call them. Yeah.
You wanted each girl to be able to work for herself,
sure,
and not
sure.
Work for...
They took up those poor little girls, and he taught them how to make a straight seam.
How many hours a week did you work then?
Nine.
9 hours a day?
9 hours. I'm at 54.
54. Mm-hmm. And that was, how about the peak periods? When you're
really busy.
Time? You work overtime? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Overtime, you say 54 hours?
Yeah.
Did you work on Sundays very often?
No, not on Sundays, Saturdays.
Was there ever any such thing as time and a half?
No. It's piece weight. It was piece weight.
They didn't pay you overtime on this?
No.
Well, do you remember anything else about the fire just before or just after? Any of the incidents on the street that you'd like to tell us about?
No, I know I went down for lunch. In fact, that some of them didn't come back, you see.
Saturday, some went
home at 12. Mm-hmm. Some those that wanted to pay, you know.
Did you ever get your pay?
No.
You didn't make a claim to the company?
No. It was blatant there.
Do you remember how many people died in the fire? Do you have any recollection?
About 150-some.
Okay, well, I think you told us a very dramatic story. Now we're going to send this to New York and then...